Hello, this is Dr. Laura Hannes-Webb of VisionarySoul.com, author of The Gift of ADHD and also Listening to Depression for the Sweet Spot podcast. This show is dedicated to helping you find, embrace, and live in your sweet spot, which is where your passion meets your purpose. You can find us online at sweetspotpodcasts.com and psychjourneypodcast.com. And today, I'm very excited to be talking to Elfie Cohn about his book, which has now come out in paperback, The Homework Myth, Why Our Kids Are Getting Too Much of a Bad Thing. Elfie Cohn is a nationally known education and parenting expert. He's the author of 10 other books, including one of my favorites, Punished by Rewards, also The Schools Our Children Deserve, and Unconditional Parenting. Welcome, Elfie.
Thank you.
Well, this is a very controversial book. Called The Homework Myth. I wonder if you could get us started by telling us, first, what is the myth, meaning, like, why is it widely believed that homework is essential for our children's development,
yeah.
And in what ways do you challenge that?
Well, that is indeed the myth, that there's enough gain to compensate for the obvious pain. Most of us as parents know that homework has a downside in terms of our kids' frustration and exhaustion, our needing to nag them to do it, family conflict, the fact that kids don't have enough time often to pursue things they care about after having just spent 6 or 7 hours in school, and most disturbingly, at least to me, the possibility that homework is extinguishing their curiosity and undermining their interest in learning. Now, we all assume, or most of us assume, that it's worth it, that homework has various benefits. It helps them become better learners. It gives them various character benefits in terms of self-discipline, independence, responsibility, work habits, and so on. So the first thing I did was to check that out. And what I found was that there is no gain, on average, to compensate for the pain. In fact, no research has ever found any benefit to homework before kids are in high school.
Wow.
And even in high school, the benefit is dubious in most cases. So then I set out to figure out why we continue to accept or assign homework, depending on whether we're parents or teachers, in spite of the fact that the data don't support it. Why are we forcing kids to work what amounts to a second shift when they get home, so that they have yet more academics to do after the school day is over? And I came up with half dozen possible explanations. And then at the end of the homework myth, I have some suggestions for what parents and teachers can do to sort of rescue our children from this, to make sure that policies are saner and more humane and more consistent with what research suggests is a good idea.
One of the things I personally got a huge kick out of, because I work with a lot of families that have kids with ADHD or depression, and in one of your recommendations for parents, you say you invite parents to either, you know, go to the teachers or go to the schools and ask them not only how do they do their homework, but what reason is there to think that this assignment is worth doing? And the reason I get such a kick out of that is because that's, of course, what all of the kids are saying.
Yeah.
And parents are rolling their eyes, and I'm sure that deep down they think exactly the same, but they just take it that they have to coerce their child into thinking that the homework is a great idea, and no parents really have a great answer to that question.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the answer we fall back on as parents is, whether you like it or not, you have to do it. And what does that teach our children? It teaches them not to be critical thinkers. It teaches them mindless obedience to authority.
Yeah.
It teaches them that you don't need good reason, even in an educational institution.
Right.
And we parents end up in the position of either just putting up with it, or if we do challenge homework policies, it tends to be purely in terms of incidental features, like how much time,
right,
rather than asking what research is there to suggest that this has to be done at all. Now, you said kids often roll their eyes, and in some cases, and I think this is especially true for kids who have special needs and challenges,
right,
it's more than that. It causes enormous anxiety and depression and lousy feelings about self, about parents, teachers, and about the whole institution of schooling, especially kids who for whom certain kinds of learning don't come quickly. Then they end up frustrated, and the parents are frustrated. Should I help them? How much? What kind? Do I force them to do it anyway? That's a losing situation. Do I not make them do it? Then the teacher will get mad. There's no escape from it except to question the institution itself. But the fact that even kids who do homework fast and easily and without enormous anxiety, even those kids almost always see homework as something to be gotten done with, gotten over with as quickly as possible. I'm finished, so they can move on to things they care about. If that's the case, that most kids view homework negatively, then apart from whatever value judgments you might make about how respectful it is to compel them to do it anyway day after day, then you also face a practical question, which I find very interesting. Namely, if kids view homework this way, why would you expect it to benefit them? What view must you have of children or of learning to expect that the kids' attitudes about what they've been forced to do don't matter, right, and that they're magically going to improve their learning proficiency despite the fact that they view it as something onerous? We must be expecting that kids are like vending machines where you put in an assignment and get out learning by itself.
And the thing I also like about your book is calling into question exactly what is it that we want to get out. And I think many educators and parents would say, would agree that the greatest thing we can give our children is to sustain their love of learning, their curiosity, and their ability to think for themselves. And as you point out in the book, the emphasis on homework can be undermining each of those outcomes that almost everyone would agree would be ideal.
Right. In fact, I write and speak on a number of other topics, as you mentioned before, and I often like to begin presentations when I give talks to educators or to parents by asking, what are your long-term goals for your kids? How would you like them to turn out? What do you dream that they'll become? And I get the same basic list with only few modifications everywhere I go, and then I use that sort of as the point of departure. You know, you say you want this, so how come you're doing that? And all kinds of practices, all kinds of that's end up not making so much sense when you see the inconsistency with our objectives. Homework is just one of many examples there.
Absolutely. And the thing that, reading through your book, I think that any person who reads your book will walk away and say, what are we doing in our school system? It's so
good.
Compelling, and the research is so good. And I think that what happens when I, when you take it to a deeper level, and you really address this in the book, is that underlying the resistance to intellectually, it's almost, you can't really argue with the premise that this is a problem, all of the homework, is competitiveness. And I just can imagine people reading the book or hearing this and saying to themselves, oh, that's fine, but if I'm going to be the one that goes out there and challenges the homework myth and all the other kids are doing their homework, their kids are going to get into the Ivy League schools and mine are not. And so that underlying it, that what we really need to look at, and I'd like you to speak to this, is the competitiveness, I think, is the barrier to this being accepted more widely.
Yes,
so how
there
do you address
is,
that?
There's a this gets back to an issue I've been working on for a long time. In fact, my very first book more than 20 years ago is called No Contest, The Case Against Competition,
right,
which looks at the destructive effects that competition has on our lives in many different respects. When we set parent against parent, school against school, nation against nation in a desperate race to triumph over one another, we end up all losing from that desperate race to win. And here, for example, you can have a policy that makes absolutely no sense, namely forcing kids to do more academic assignments at home, even though it undermines their interest in learning and, according to the research, rarely has any benefit. But no one wants to be the first to get rid of it, you know, because what if my neighbor's kids are still working hard on their homework? Won't I be left behind somehow? And the school superintendent feels the same way about the next district. I mean, I'm particularly troubled, as I think everyone should be, frankly, by this notion of competitiveness on an international scale, the idea that we have to fill up our kids' backpacks and evenings, often with pointless worksheets that aren't even intellectually constructive at all, so that some other country, India or Japan or China or whatever the enemy du jour is, you know, won't get ahead of us. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all kinds of problems with this argument. I think both value problems and empirical problems. First of all, it turns out that even if you look at relative test scores, those rankings across nations, that it turns out that there's a negative correlation between how well the students in a given country do on international tests and how much homework they get. In other words, those with less homework do better. But second, I don't care about standardized test scores because they tend to measure what matters least. And third, even if I did care, I don't want our kids to beat kids elsewhere. To suggest that I'm interested in international rankings, U.S. number one, mm-hmm. suggests that I want children to do poorly and fail to learn just because they live in a different country. I mean, that is a position that's both intellectually and morally bankrupt. But again, we see it in our own neighborhoods. The more focused we are on winning, which is completely different from a focus on excellence, let alone caring,
right.
The more we tend to push our children to do all kinds of stuff that doesn't make sense. Again, homework being just one example.
Well, I think one quote that you have, speaking to the national competitiveness, I have a couple thoughts. And one is, you know, you have this quote, who cares if it's a child in Africa who finds a cure for cancer rather than an American child, for example,
right.
I think really takes it to the height of absurdity. And I think another emblem of the total failure of that kind of national competitiveness is, I was thinking about this when a year ago, you know, they had this, you know, we go back to the 50s, and it was like, we have to, you know, make sure those Russians don't get the first person on the moon.
Right.
And then it was just a year ago, we have this farce that was so emblematic, you know, if the astronauts are, you know, the ultimate goal of our competitive spirit, and we have this, you know, diaper-wearing, pepper-spraying astronaut love triangle, and this is the pinnacle of our intellectual competitiveness. And it was almost an emblem of what, you know, how far wrong that whole enterprise has gone.
Yeah. Even without that extraordinary example, I think when I used to go around speaking about competition in particular, someone would inevitably ask, "Do you think we would have put a man on the moon as soon as we did if we weren't in a race against the Soviets?" And I always had two answers to that. One is, are we sure that was a good use of our resources?
Excellent
point. And that's a question that you almost never ask when you're in a race, by the way.
Right.
And second, even if the answer is, yeah, that was a good goal, I think we would have probably put someone on the moon earlier had we been collaborating with the Soviets rather than trying to beat them. We now know that the Soviets had certain kinds of missile technology that we were still working on, and presumably we had solved some problems that they hadn't. But you can't share what you know with your rival. And this is true of all competition, that it tends to be duplicative and redundant. So even from a very practical, hard-headed, achievement-oriented approach, it turns out that competition turns out to be not just an unhappy arrangement, but not a particularly productive one.
Right, and even back to your first question about was that a good use of our resources, I mean, again, working in the children with the disabilities of some sort, but actually now every child, I mean, we have school systems that aren't funding, you know, their PE classes, their music classes, their art classes, and, you know, wouldn't it be better to take care of the kids on our planet before we're sending off our diaper-wearing, pepper-spraying astronauts to another planet of some sort? But
Yeah.
But anyways, so I want to get back to this issue. So you have very practical ideas for parents and what can they do. And I think it's very important because the truth is parents are as frustrated as children are and as depressed that so much of their time is consumed with something that even they question the meaningfulness of. What are the things that parents who are listening to this can take away from this and go do?
Well, first, we have to arm ourselves with the facts. If a parent goes to a teacher or principal and says, "I don't see why my kid needs to have all this homework. She hates it. She's losing interest in reading. She's unhappy about school in general. It's not helping her learn." then we have to be prepared. You know, if an educator responds by saying, you know, well, actually studies show that homework is useful for promoting achievement, we need to say, which studies are those? Because as I understand it, the studies show exactly the reverse. In fact, at the elementary school level, there isn't even a positive correlation between doing homework or doing more homework on the one hand and doing better academically, even by stupid standardized measures on the other hand. And then if you educators are resorting to slogans in place of real substantive arguments, like saying homework reinforces what they're taught in school, parents might say, what do you mean by reinforces exactly? That's a word that comes from work with lab animals, isn't it? Mm. What can be reinforced? Not understanding, only mindless behaviors. So is that what we're promoting in this school? Getting kids to just cough up answers in response to a stimulus without understanding it? Because if that's the case, we should give kids lots of practice homework. If not, if we're interested in understanding, then I understand there are many schools that give no homework, and their kids really do understand mathematical and literary and scientific ideas from the inside out. Why don't we learn more about them? So in other words, we need to be informed and unintimidated. The second suggestion is that we organize. Whenever there's something that's not optimal about education, I think it's much more important to realize that we're not alone. And some parents are put in the position of being told by teachers, you know, nobody else is complaining, when you know damn well that lots of other families are very unhappy, but they've just been cowed into silence or led to believe that homework actually is useful. There are parents who are reassured at the sight of their children hunched over a worksheet at the kitchen table. And the more the kid doesn't like it, the more we assume it must be useful, you know, as if it's like the Listerine theory of education, I call it. Mm. It tastes vile, so it must be working. When in fact, the reality is just the opposite in many cases, that when kids are engaged and happy about the learning, they tend to learn better. And then there are other parents who are just really unaware that there could be an alternative. They assume homework is just part of school and part of life. But if we're able to talk it up and 10 parents go in to the teacher or the principal and politely but pointedly say, you know what, we give you our kids 6 hours a day for academics, that's enough. The rest of the time is family time, and we will decide what we do. And I hope our kids will read pleasure books, but we hope they will develop not only intellectually but artistically and socially and physically and just have a time to goof off and be children. After all, even we adults need time to chill out after a full day of work. And so the more we organize and make it clear we have logic and good values and solid research on our side, the less likely it is that we're going to have to adopt an agenda that doesn't make sense and then become the enforcers for the school of that dubious agenda. Mm-hmm. I have in the book some other specific suggestions about what can be done in the meantime and how we can begin to make progress. At the very least, I think our view has to be, and I tell this to teachers too, that only when we're absolutely sure that a given assignment has to spill over into family time should a given assignment be offered. In other words, the default should be no homework. Only when you can make a good case that a given assignment is going to benefit most of the kids should they presume to assign something. The idea of regular homework every day assumes that homework is valuable irrespective of its content. And that's a position that's ludicrous, just impossible to defend. Mm-hmm. The position I'm proposing instead, do it only when you're absolutely sure is beneficial, seems to me just plain common sense.
Mm, that's great. And then how would you answer if a parent was saying to you, for example, well, I'm convinced that homework doesn't have any impact on my child's intelligence and the most important outcomes that I can think of, but certainly it's going to have an impact on what college my kid gets into. Now what should I do? What would you say to that parent?
I've never heard of a college that even asked applicants how much homework they did. The assumption such a parent is making would be that homework improves kids' academic credentials or proficiency leading to those outcomes that colleges are looking at. And that's precisely what I'm calling into question.
Okay.
I mean, the only way this could possibly be true is if homework leads to higher grades because the same teacher who gives the homework then grades the kids based on their compliance. In that sense, it might be true, but that's hardly a meaningful outcome indicator.
It's an outcome. It's a measure of compliance.
Exactly.
Right.
And but otherwise, look, there. I have loads of examples in the book of individual teachers and whole schools where they give no homework at all, and the kids do fabulously well and presumably get into great colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's something, getting into colleges, that I really worry about parents who are worried about that before the kids are in high school. But that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that gets right back to the competitiveness.
Yes, exactly.
And those are the parents that are more concerned about the competitiveness of the college rather than is my child going to find their passionate vocation and succeed and doing what they love.
Which suggests they're really not doing it in the child's interest at all, but developing a kind of deriving a kind of vicarious satisfaction. Look how good I am because of what my kid got into, where the child becomes an instrument for raising the self-esteem of the parent, and that's very, very disturbing indeed.
Well, and that is not so much covered in your book, but I will provide a testimonial that as a psychologist, the dynamic that you just talked about, whether it affects achievement or not, it affects mental health, and those are the kids that will have depression, drug abuse, eating disorders, anxiety disorders, and will have lost their love of learning and their curiosity. So, this is such a powerful book, and thank you very much for speaking with me, and I encourage readers to also check out many of your other books, all of them, Punished by Rewards, The Schools Our Children Deserve, Unconditional Parenting. And can you tell, if people are listening to this and they want to have you come speak to them or they want to contact you, where should they go?
To my website, which is the same place they should go, and thank you for asking, if they want articles for free on many of these same topics, including one, by the way, called How Not to Get into College on the Preoccupation with Preparation, and a bunch of articles about homework, too. My website is simply my name, Alfie Cohn, which is spelled ALFIEKOHN.org.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Take care, Alfie.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.